When it comes to growing things, many things can and do go wrong. Today, for those of you who have your Bibles, our text is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, starting at verse number 4, reading down to verse number 15. Luke, chapter 8, starting at verse 4, and it reads as follows. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the stories that he told. And we're so glad, Father, that for those who have discernment, they're easily understood. And even though the fact they may be easily understood doesn't remove the fact that they are very convicting stories, because each of these parables is a mirror in which we can see ourselves in relationship to you, ourselves, and to each other. So we ask, Father, that you would give the ability to see, that you would give the ability to hear to those today who have not up until this time been able to do that. And we ask, Father, if there was a man, a woman, a boy, or girl that knows you not the free pardon of sin, they might come crying as the jailer, What must I do to be saved? We ask that your word may go out with power, that it may be produced with promise, and that it may give us a life that is in line with your will and your word, all done because we love you, because you first loved us. Save that soul today that is closest to hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our thought for today is simply this, a farmer's story. If you look around this church and the grounds in which it is surrounded by farmer's fields. Directly to the north of us, behind us, there is a field of soybeans. I find when I look at this scripture that it is two things. It is both a comfort and a challenge to me on several different levels. Basically, what this scripture tells us, it talks about the condition of the heart. The heart, like soil, can be in various stages, and depending on the stage of the soil, has a lot to do with what happens inside your heart and mind. It encourages me because it talks about God's Word being a seed, and it talks about, as a seed, the power that it can have in the heart. It is a challenge to me because if I'm not producing or growing, what is the problem? I look at this, and there are four types of soil, and only 1/4 or 1 out of every 4 actually does anything. 3 out of the 4 types of soil don't do what they could do or should do. So what is the problem? And you know, for farmers, the preparation of the soil is just like the preparation of the heart. And that's the key to the whole thing. This story, this parable, is repeated in Matthew chapter 13 and in Mark chapter 4. And it says in those texts that he was down by the seaside when he told the story. This is the latest in our series called More Than Just a Story, where we look at the parables of Christ. And as I've told you week by week, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Everything in the story is a type or a symbol. It represents something or someone else. But most of all, it's a mirror to show us where we're at with God. And I don't know about you, but every time I look in the mirror, it's not always a pleasant experience. Because sometimes when I look in the mirror, I see things that are not right. Now, it's my choice to go through life and out the door and greet the rest of the world with the things that are not right, or I can choose to do the best I can and try to fix what's not right so I can have a better impact on those who come across me. Which reminds me of what happened at work yesterday. There was one young lady who was eating her sandwich, and I asked her about it, where it came from, and, you know, and all kinds of questions, and she says, well, I guess you just killed my appetite. I don't feel like eating now. So I went in the back room, and another person said, you know, you embarrassed her by talking about her food. I said, I did. She says, yes. So she comes in the back room, and I says, I'm sorry if I embarrassed you. She says, well, you know, at first I didn't know how to take you, but I've learned that that's just the way you are. But thank you for apologizing. To which the other person said, you know, when I first met you, I didn't know how to take you either. She said, you said some things to me, and I said, is that an insult? But she says, I figured out that's just the way you are. So, anyway, my point is there's always room to grow and improve. And sometimes people are the mirror to which we look in and see ourselves. But this story is very plain, but also very revealing. And we're going to learn a lot about ourselves, about the preparation and condition of our heart, which is reflected in its four types of soil. If you were a farmer in the Middle East at the time this story was written, it is not like farming in today's Western world. If you were a farmer in those days, you did not use two hands when you plowed. You only used one hand because the other hand you had what would be known as a prod or a goad. And whatever beast of burden was pulling your plow, you would use the hand that had the goad to poke them along so they would keep pulling the plow. One of the things that is so nice about plowing today is when you drop that plow down into the soil, you can set it and plow it deep and turn up the soil. Back then, the soil was basically in Palestine a very stony kind of soil, so there was a lot of rocks in it. And so basically what you would do is you would plow with one hand, and the plow didn't go down in the soil very deep. Because you weren't bearing down with two hands, you were only putting your weight down with one hand. In the meantime, you were poking whatever beast of burden you were using to plow your field. You used a donkey or a beast of burden to bring your sack of seed out to the field, and then you would put it in a leather patch, a pouch under your shoulder, and the way it worked was this. You would walk around and scatter the seed by hand across the field. There was a person behind you who would come along and plow what you had just scattered and turned the soil on top of the seed. There were, it talks about a road. Well, actually, Rome was the first civilized nation that was really good at building roads, because you can find even today, there are roads that the Romans built thousands of years ago that are still in use today. That's how well they were at constructing roads. When it talks about roads here, basically what it talked about that there was a path across your field that was used by everyone to get across the field, and so it was a packed, hardened, dirt piece, strip, that went across your field, and anybody that went across your field walked across this road. So the idea was, is also, they didn't really use fertilizer, but there was a lot of limestone in the area, and what would happen is there was a lot of little stones in the field. And they didn't necessarily go out and get rid of all the stones, because they used the lime in the stones, because what would happen was, is once you plowed the field and it would rain, the rain would wash or bleach some of the lime out of the stones into the ground, and thereby acting as a fertilizer. But as far as going out and fertilizing like we do by going to crop production services and getting big tanks of androgynous ammonia and spraying, they didn't do all that. They just scattered and plow. Scattered and plow. And he talks about the fact that it's interesting that when he was throwing the seed out by hand, some interesting things happened. One of the things that you learn about the story is not everything you do is going to turn out well. And Jesus knew that even as a fact of his ministry, that everybody that heard his preaching and teaching did not respond to his words. Every life that was touched by the word, which is represented by the seed, was not converted. Everybody didn't get saved. In fact, if you look at the ratio, it was only one out of every four. And so, basically, what happens is this. You throw the seed out. The birds come along when some of it lands along the hardened path, and because there's nothing for it to sink down into, the birds come along and pick it up and eat it. Some of it falls along ground that was kind of stony. It didn't have much depth. It might have had a mossy surface over it. And what would happen was is there was just enough to get a little start, and it looked like the plant was going to grow, but then the plant would die and wither out. Then there were other parts of the field where you had thorns. And the reason why they didn't run out and pull out the thorns is because there weren't a whole lot of trees. So what they would do is they would use the thorns at night when they wanted to build a fire. Because it was a very dry, woody kind of a substance, and they would pull these up and they would build a bonfire, or else they would use them if they were going to protect their sheep by building an enclosure to keep what's supposed to be out, out, and what's in. So they didn't run around and pull up all the thorn and thorn bushes because they had a purpose. But sometimes when the seed would get around the thorns, it would grow up among them, but it didn't grow very far because it was a competition as to who was going to be stronger. The thorn had a better root system, the thorn had a stronger growth base, the thorn was going down deeper, and it choked out the weeds. And then there was the good ground, that when he threw it along the ground and the plow came along behind him, he was able to turn over the earth, and it was good earth, and the seed grew, and it says, it even produced 100-fold. So that's the story in its essence, but then there's some interesting things that happen, especially what he finds in verse number 9, because once he tells this story, his disciples, those who spent every waking moment of all the years they've been with him, and this was in his second year of ministry, which was the year of popularity, they said, well, what does that mean? Why do you always tell these stories? And Jesus makes an interesting statement because you've got to really pay attention. He says, unto you, the disciples, is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's like I told Sister Beverly something that nobody else in this room knew. And when I tell the whole church what I'm telling her that she already knows, she knows all about it. It makes sense to her because she's in on it. It's not a mystery to her. It's not an unknown truth. It's something that she's in on because she knows the secret. The rest of you are sitting there going, now what's he talking about this week? He's always coming up with some who shot John. What's this latest rigmarole, jibber-jab or whatever? And Jesus is saying that simply those who know the secret understand the story. And he makes an interesting statement because you can take it two ways. He says this, people that hear, don't hear. People that have eyes, they don't see. And it's kind of like somebody that you're not interested in, they can be doing all kinds of things, but since you don't care anything about them, what they do, what they say, they're invisible to you. Somebody asked me at work, why is it you haven't been in any trouble this year? Why is it anybody hasn't called you and read you the riot act and called you into account about why you're doing this and not doing that? And I said, it's simple. I am visibly invisible. And she said, what does that mean? I said, I show up every day. I do the same things. I'm not doing anything real outlandish which draws attention to myself. On the other hand, I'm not doing nothing which draws attention to the fact that I'm not doing anything. I said, I'm just sort of there. I sort of blend in. So because I'm doing what I'm doing, which may not always be right, it's not big enough to do that anybody's zeroing in and paying attention. And that's what his point is sometimes people are around. People do this when they're married all the time. There's a commercial where a woman's talking to her husband and he's reading the paper, and their aliens are coming for dinner, dear, and they killed our children, dear, and they're taking us back to their world. That's fine, dear, that's fine. He's hearing what she said, but he's not listening. Parents and children are real good at this. It's called a communication gap, supposedly on one side more than the other, but it depends on which side the fence you're standing on. The parent thinks they know exactly what's going on, and the child thinks you have got not a clue. So, it's like listening but not hearing. But Jesus says, you know, the reason why I also tell these stories is this, so that those who do not hear might learn to hear, and those who do not see might learn to see. And what that means is that something supernatural has to happen. It is an act of faith. It is a spiritual insight that is given by the Holy Spirit, that is given by God, that all of a sudden it's like me walking around with no glasses on, because as Jesus said to the man that he put his mud in his eyes, he says, he worshiped him, he says, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. I can sort of tell who you are, mainly because you sit in the same row every week, but anyway, if I was going to say I can see you clearly, no chance. I'd have to get like ABC. I'll tell you when it gets into focus. It's getting sharper, 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 sharper. Hi, Chelsea. Now I can see it, but from a distance, it's like looking at trees walking. But you know, insight in a spiritual sense, getting your spiritual eyes is like not being able to see and somebody giving you a pair of glasses and you go, oh, I see now. You should be careful what you say when you put your glasses on for the first time you're in the doctor's office, because the man put the glasses on me and I said, you know, it's amazing how ugly some people are when you put your glasses on. And then I realized that he probably thought I was talking. I said, no, I wasn't talking about you. I just mean you can just see things you've never seen before, all the crevices and, well, never mind. Spiritual insight, seeing by faith, means something that you didn't have any way to understand. Now you understand it completely. So Jesus says this. And you know, this phrase, he that hath ears and he that hath eyes, this phrase is repeated 14 times in the Gospels. And every time Jesus says it, and he's making a point about people, and that's when he goes to explain the story. It's real simple. It goes like this. He says, there are cautions and conditions to the four types of soil. In verse number 12, he says this, those by the wayside are those that hear, and then cometh the devil. There are people who sit in church, and they hear the word of God, and that's as far as it goes, because it gets no chance to take root, it gets no chance to get a hold of them, because as soon as they hear, the devil takes it out of their mind. How does he take it out of their mind? Well, you're sitting there listening, and you're finally understanding, all of a sudden the thought comes in your head, and you wonder, where did that come from? Or the person next to you coughs or burps or falls asleep. And, you know, and you all of a sudden, what? And then you're lost. So, you know, just as soon as you're starting to get it, the devil takes it away. Some of you don't even get out to the car. Oh, that was a good message. And you get in the car and you're like, it was like Dick in class. I said, you made a point. Remember that point you made, Dick? He said, what did I say? So, you know, what it comes down to is that it doesn't have any roots. It never gets the chance to take hold. And basically, you would describe this person as a person who's indifferent. They don't care whether they hear it. They don't care whether they don't hear it. It makes no difference to them. They're a duck, and it's raining. And it's just bouncing right off. Just bouncing right off. It makes no difference to me. You know, their favorite song is, I shall not be moved. The second kind of person is the person who, it says in verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. They're excited about it. They're emotional hearers. They go, yes! I got it! Oh, yes, I understand. I was blind, but now I see, and oh, I'm glad what God has done for me! And then it says, next week they come back, and I'm still fired up. Might get them 3 weeks. I love being here. 4th week. Anybody seen says, she's home. What's she doing back there? What's she doing at home? It grabbed her, but she didn't grab it, and it didn't last very long. And those are interesting people, because there's all kinds of people that pass through these doors, not these doors, but the doors of every church. And what it says is they have a superficial experience of divine truth that they do not permit to go down deep and take a hold of their lives. They don't get it down on the inside, so there's nothing to hold on to because they don't have any roots, or roots, depending on where you're from. And you know, these kind of people, they do interesting things. These are people who may be new members. They come in and they stumble, or they come in and they find out they don't like the pastor, or they may take an offense at something somebody did or something somebody said. Or they may wonder, why are they always talking about money? Or, you know, they may feel like, why are they ignoring me? They said something to everybody else, but they didn't say anything to me. I'm upset. I'm going home. You know, they start out good, but then, you know, I always tell people, Christianity is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash and you get across the line and I'm in heaven! It doesn't work that way. It's a marathon. The third kind of person is known as those that fall among the thorns. And I found in my garden that if I ignore it, interesting things happen, because all kinds of things can grow in the soil. And not everything that happens in the garden is a good thing. I'd come back some years and I couldn't find what I was growing, because what I was growing has been overcome by the weeds, and they had got such a vigorous start that I could no longer find what it was, because it's down there dried up and dead. And what he's saying is that when it comes to some people, they get it, they got it, but it doesn't last, because everything that they were involved in before they got it, it's just like something that just takes over. It says there's things that, you know, and it doesn't seem like it's a bad thing. It says riches. Who wouldn't want to be rich? Pleasures. Who wouldn't want to have pleasure in life? Well, you see, it's like burl cream. Some of you have no idea what burl cream is, but back in my day, it was this little hair cream, and their slogan was, burl cream, a little dab will do you. And the point was, you didn't need to squeeze your palm full of this stuff and just lather up. Just a little dab will get that baby looking just like you want it. And that's the way it is with cares, pleasures, riches. Sometimes it doesn't take much to get people off the track. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes I get off the track. I mean, I'm focusing on something else and boop, something comes along and where is he? What's he doing? I thought he was going to... That's right, I told Marjorie. I saw her Friday. I said, I'll be by to visit on Saturday. Well, I was out at the farm checking a few things, and on my way back to the house, my neighbor was moving a building. And he was stuck in the yard trying to get up the hill. He's pulling it with his truck, so I said, what are you doing? He says, it's stuck. I said, first thing you do is get your jack out. We had this conversation for 5 minutes. I said, get your jack out. He said, I'm going to get a shovel. I said, get your jack out. I said, it's easier to jack it up than it is to dig it up. So I said, jack it up. I said, you got any beams or logs? Nope. I said, wait a minute, I'll be right back. Went and got me some landscape timbers, came back, laid it underneath there. I said, full steam ahead! Up the hill we went. So he dug out a little spot for it, and I said, now how are you going to get that in there? I said, you stop pulling too soon. The idea is to get it as close as you want, because this building's heavy. So I said, what are all these limbs hanging around? So anyway, what I was originally going to do, my point is, as you can see, I get distracted. But anyway, my point is I get off the beam. That's why my grandmother's been dead 10 years, but I still remember what she used to say to me, because I hear it in my head all the time. And I know why she has said it. Once a job you have begun, do not quit until it's done. Be it labor, great or small, do it well or not at all. And then she added her own little line. Now, when are you going to finish that? So, yeah, I've got stuff in my head that goes back 5, 10 years that I've been working on, and yes, so I'm working on it. Sometimes I stop and work on it and stop. So anyway, my point is there are a lot of things that can happen to people that get you off the track. And it doesn't seem like pleasure is a good thing, a bad thing, but it can be if it pulls you away from God. It doesn't seem like riches can be a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing if it pulls you away from God. So the question is what is it about the world that we live in that captures your attention? Is it that man? Is it that woman? Is it that boy? Is it that girl? Is it that job? Is it that career? Is it education? All those things can be good in their place as long as God is number one. But when something you're pursuing becomes the big pursuit of your life instead of trusting and following God, you can find all of a sudden you weren't going to church and all of a sudden you have a reason not to go. Some people were looking for a reason not to go, and some people go out and find one. But anyway, my point is, all of a sudden you were here and now you're not here. Why? Well, we had to go do this. And we got to do this. And, so when you come back, when I find a little time, I'll be back down there. But you know, I'm kind of busy. Jesus says, don't ever get too busy for God. The last is the good ground. That which is on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That word keep it means to hold fast. If you want your plants to grow, if you want your trees to grow, one thing you need more than anything else, they gotta have a good root or root, depending on where you're from, system. The roots go down deep into the ground. Two things will happen. It means that even if it's dry and it has not rained, if it's got a good root system, it will not shrivel up under the dryness of the times. It also means that if it's surrounded by weeds, it's got such a good root system that it's going to continue to grow in spite of the weeds that are around it. And I said this is kind of like a symbol of our hearts and what we're like. So I close simply by saying this. Spiritual relationships are based not just on hearing God's Word, but in doing God's Word. And you know, Christ did not expect universal acceptance of His ministry. So one of the things that He says by telling the story is, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody's going to buy into what I'm telling them. Not everybody's going to believe who I am and what I said I've done and why I said I came. So, you know, what He's saying is He did not expect everybody to just fall in line. And that encourages me because when people are told the gospel, share the gospel, presented with the gospel, and they care not about what you say, what you're talking about, or the God that you serve, you can get discouraged. And sometimes that's the devil's favorite tool. If I can get them discouraged, then they'll stop working. If I can get them disheartened, then they'll stop working. If I can get them disappointed, then they'll stop working. If I can get them depressed, then they'll stop working. But what this lesson teaches us is there was no problem with the seed, and there was no problem with the sower. It was in the ground in which the seed fell where the problem lied. So as you and I, as a challenger, told to go and share and live and shine forth the Word of God in our lives with whoever we meet along life's pathway, some will accept, some will reject, but that is not up to us for them to accept or reject. We're just to keep on sowing the seed. So we should focus on what God has told us to do and leave the results to Him. And one of the reasons why people never come to Christ is because they don't understand what He's talking about. And I close by saying this. There are four types of people here in this story. There are path people. Path people refers to believers who are indifferent to the Word of God. It makes no difference what you say. They're not going to accept it. They're not going to reject it. They're not going to do anything with it. The second kind of people are rock people. And you know, the thing about it is at different times in our lives, we can find ourselves in one of these conditions. Sometimes we're just indifferent to the Word of God. We could care less, even though we were there last week. Something happened this week, and we don't want to hear it. Sometimes when you've got disappointment, tragedy, sorrow, perils, plights, problems, people sometimes walk away from God and never come back because they become indifferent, because they question why God allowed things to happen. The second kind of people are thorn people. Well, actually, the second kind of people are rock people. And what happens is they believe the message, and that's as far as it goes. There are a lot of people who have come into church and believe that God has sent His Son to die for their sins, and that's all it ever amounts to. They believe, but they never do anything about what they believe. The third kind of people are thorn people. They worry about everything. And the cares and the stresses and the strains of this life, if you're into being materialistic, it just crowds out everything and there's no room for God. So people have no room for God because they let everything else come in and crowd it out. And the fourth kind of people are good soil people, and those are the people that follow Jesus no matter what. So my question is what kind of soil are we? Are we path people? Are we rock people? Are we thorn people? Are we good soil people? And what it means is basically the good soil people says this. They keep the word, they hear the word, and they bring forth fruit with endurance. The writer of Hebrews says that he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. It's not the starting, it's the finishing that tells where we really stand with Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for the story of the sower and the seed. But mostly we thank You for showing us what kind of ground is out there. And hopefully, Father, as we look at our lives, we can see where we fall in the types of soil. Whether we're path people, whether we're rock people, whether we're thorn people, whether we're good soil people. Our hope and our prayer, Father God, is to bring us all to a point where we become good soil people that bring forth fruit that bear witness and testimony for You both now and throughout all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.